Hallelujah. If y'all will turn to, I didn't know whether I wanted to start with this or not. Go ahead and turn over to Psalms 112. Just kind of something extra to start out with that the Lord shared with me last night, and I just really think it's just good to just praise God through His Word. David praised God through the Psalms. There are Psalms of praise all through the book of Psalms. Tell you what, let's all read this together. I've got the King James, but it's going to say the same thing. So just read it and understand what you have there. You know, don't, because we got different translations, it may sound a little different. So you read what you have, but let's all read it together. A psalm of praise, Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth God, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise God. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of blessing that God speaks to us, that David realizes the blessing and the privilege that is his by being in faith, by being counted as righteous before God because of his faith. See, even David as Abraham, in Genesis it says Abraham, it was counted to righteousness for Abraham because of his faith. And that's the case throughout all the Old Testament, that faith was counted as righteousness. And so even here, David was partaking of the blessings of God and realizing the blessings of God, and he's just worshiping God in it. Surely he shall not be moved forever. It's talking about the believer. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That goes right along with what we're talking about, considering when the evil thing comes against you, when you're believing God. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed. When you're standing in faith, your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. All right, praise God. It's a blessing. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. But what does it say right up here at the first verse? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Where are his commandments? What are the commandments of God? God's words. God's word. Right here. The Bible, the Word of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And that's what I want to talk about. If y'all have heard me teach before, you know I'm right on the standing on the Word all the time. That's about what I touch on about every time I teach, is about the Word, because the Word is important. The Word is the most important thing we've got at this point, at this time. The disciples had Jesus right there with them to teach them and to minister to them and to disciple them. We've got the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God on the inside of us does what? It reveals. He reveals to us the Word of God. He gives us knowledge and wisdom and insight into the Word of God. So let's go to the Word of God. Okay, we'll start at Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of good word. I want to really touch on the word in you that perfects you, brings you to perfection, having the word in you. So let's take a look at starting with verse 11 back. Go all the way back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? We need to look first at Jesus himself taught his disciples and ministered the word to them. Taught them, discipled them, brought them to an understanding of the word which was workable, that they might be able to minister to other people. And then, of course, after he left, he sent the Comforter down, the Holy Spirit, to empower them, to give them the ability to minister with the power of God. So what these gifts, these ministry gifts, were given in the same way that Jesus was given. Not in the aspect of sacrifice and not in the aspect of redemption, but in the aspect of teaching the life and the way in which it was to be lived. So Jesus taught his disciples, and now Jesus gives these gifts. Who gave the gifts? Jesus. He who ascended up on high, went down to the lower parts of the earth, and now who is ascended again. He gave the gifts. He gave the gifts unto men. And these are what? These are teachers. These are ministers. To minister to who? To minister to you. To minister to me. To minister to the saints. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. A lot of times that's read, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But really, to look at it in the manner which it should be looked at, in the manner which would be most beneficial to the body of Christ, it would be more beneficial than for Pastor Borchert, Pastor Nichols here, and Pastor Nichols over there, and all these pastors around town, Wilkerson, to, instead of them going out on the street and witnessing to everybody they could, if you got every pastor in town who would witness to people and who would go out and try to win souls and try to minister to everyone he could, if you got every pastor in town, if you got every pastor in the country to try to do that, you still would not have the manpower to go out and speak individually to every individual on the job, out in the recreation areas, just on the street. You wouldn't have near the manpower to do that. And that was not the purpose of these ministry gifts. Many times we try to put off, well, we'll call Pastor so-and-so, or we'll call the minister and let him go talk to so-and-so about it. The purpose of the ministry gifts is to minister to you, to open the Word, to give themselves to studying the Word, so that you can benefit from them. You can benefit from what the Holy Spirit has shown them as they are staying full time, studying in the Word and praying and receiving God's revelation of the fullness of what's in this Word. Y'all know, I'm sure, that you can look at one verse and you can look at it many times and get more out of it every time. Every time you look at it, there's something else, something new and fresh in the Word of God. It's not dull, it's not dead. It's fresh, it's alive, and it can minister to you. A certain verse of Scripture can minister to you in different ways every time you look at it, especially when you're in prayer, especially when you stay in prayer, when you have a continuous prayer time with the Father. But what I'm looking at is that these men are here to minister to you, to give you the revelation that they've given from God, to give you what is needful for you to go out and use it with everyone you see. Because you people are more often out with others, out with more friends. You in more contact. If there was two of me, I could do twice as much work around here. So if the pastor gives what he has to you, gives what God has given to him, and takes it and gives it to 10 of you, how much more is he spread out? How much more is the Word of God spread out that God's given him? He can go out and minister that Word, and y'all can go out and minister the same Word. That's why the ministry gifts are given, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Believers, there's a believer's ministry. In Mark 16, Jesus set forth the Great Commission, but it was not just to the disciples, it was to believers. It was to believers, that believers would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Believers are the ones who go out and minister to the masses. Jesus ministered as much as he could to the masses, but what did he have to do? He sent first the 12 out. He gave them power to cast out devils, and he gave them power to minister to the people. And then later on, he gave 70 the ability to do that. He commissioned 70 more. Why? Because Jesus was only one man on the earth. On the earth, he was operating as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God. But even at that, he could not minister to everyone that needed ministering to. So that's what these gifts are given for. All these gifts, in the diversity of the gifts, pastors are for the local body of of teaching all the time, and evangelists are to go out and minister to masses in a meeting. But you're not going to get all the masses in a crusade. Those whom God has been dealing with, those who have friends who are born again that drag them to the revival. Yeah, that's true. That's one way people get born again. That's the ministry of the evangelist. Also, the ministry of the evangelist has signs, and signs are for the unbeliever. Signs of miracles. The manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit are very prevalent in a true New Testament evangelist ministry. Also, apostles, those sent out to the new areas to start works. And prophets, those who are sent to give forth and to reveal the Word of God in a mighty way. The prophets are the ones who bring major new revelations, not on their own and not new things that are not in the Word of God, but things that are just cracked open from the Word of God that have not been revealed to the present generation. And of course, pastors and teachers. And the teachers are those who go out and minister and give revelation just to groups like this, but not in local church, in a local church or in a meeting house somewhere. Praise God for all the different varieties of gifts that God has given to us, that He can minister to believers everywhere, that He can minister to believers in so many different places and build them up so that they can go out and minister. Okay, let's see here. Why do we need these? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Are we there yet? Okay. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Or some have said, well, some of these gifts are passed away now. Apostles, prophets, and teachers. All you've got now is evangelists and pastors. No, huh? These are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we there yet? We haven't come to the full knowledge of the Son of God yet. No, of course not. Have we all come unto a perfect man in the flesh? No. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No, we're not there yet. So the gifts are still here. The gifts are still here to minister to us. It'd be silly to take out the people that minister, the milkman that delivers milk out to the south side of Fort Worth. No. You need to leave all the gifts until everybody's got the milk, all the milk they need. You don't take out, you know, the delivery out there just because. And that's, I think that's why a lot of have been taken out, just because they haven't experienced, just because they haven't seen it, does not mean that the Word of God has said it's passed away. Okay. That we henceforth be, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Susie, could you go turn that tape? It's about time. So the teaching of these ministers of God is that we henceforth be no more tossed, that we be no more children. Are children always wise in their dealings? Are children always discreet in how they operate and in how they carry themselves? That we have the policy, so to speak, or the instructions down, so that we're not knocked this way when the wind comes, or not knocked that way when doubt and unbelief comes in, when the pressures and the problems of life come in. We know what the Word of God says. We know what the Word of God says concerning healing. We know what the Word of God says concerning our salvation. We know what the Word of God says concerning that we should be blessed, that we should be standing firm in faith, even though we don't see the full manifestation of what the Word of God has said we have, because temptation comes in. Temptation and the attacks of Satan come in. The Word of God, the ministers of God, are there ministering that revelation, the Word of God, to you, that you be steadfast and not blown about by every time somebody comes around saying, well, I don't believe that, and you start going around wondering, well, wait a minute, now, I don't know if that's right or not. Well, if you're convinced, if you've been convinced by the Holy Spirit that the place you're at is the place that you need to be, that the man of God there is teaching the true and unadulterated Word of God, and that you have got what God wants and what God's Word is in a particular situation, that you won't be moved, that you won't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. There are false teachers all around. There are teachers all around who would deceive you, even if not for their... Many of them themselves are deceived. Many of these teachers themselves are deceived, but in some cases, of course, they're just after your money, or they're just after something. They're just after the building a name for themselves, and they're not teaching the Word of God. But the ministry gifts and the are here to give us the true Word of God and to fill us till we all come in the unity of the faith, so that we won't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, so that we won't be knocked around and beat around and acting as if we don't know, as if we don't understand what God wants for us. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, as the purpose in having the ministry gifts is to reveal to you and to give to you the Word of God, it's the matter that it's to be that we're to be speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up, that we may have the truth to speak, that we may grow up, that we may be developed into the fullness of the stature of Christ. From whom, let's look at verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. There we're talking about the believer's ministry again, because every joint. Christ is the head. The believers are the members. And the Word of God is that which compacts and joins together and causes every joint to come together, everything to come together and work smoothly. Arthritis slows. That's what false teaching is like, arthritis. It slows and it prevents the body from acting as a unit, prevents the body from moving. But the Word of God is that which keeps the body moving, which keeps the body together and moving and freely and completely able to perform the will of God to its fullest extent, by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint has something to supply. Every member in the body of Christ has something to supply. That's why there's a believer's ministry. Every joint in the body of Christ has something to give, has something to minister. There's a place for every believer. There's a place where every believer can minister, that, and you need to get in your prayer closet and find out. You need to get with this Word of God. You need to get in your prayer closet and find out where God can use you. Many people go from church to church, to Bible study to Bible study, never committing themselves to any church, to any body of believers, to any place where they can effectively work. They're out just to get themselves filled up, to get their tape rack filled up with all the different teachers, just so they can say, well, I've got the Word of God all on the inside of me. It's not doing any good if the Word of God is coming inside of you and you're not doing anything with it. It's just being a hearer of the Word. You need to get in and do something. You need to be a doer of the Word. You need to take the Word that you've heard, take the Word that has been ground into your heart, that's been established in your heart, and use it. Put it to use so that God will give you more. It's not as if you're not going to. It's not as if you're going to lose the Word of God if you use it. If you put yourself to work in a particular place, in a particular body. But again, check with God. Don't just jump out. Don't just jump out into something that. You need to make sure that God wants you in that particular position. But the point is, be looking for a place. If you're in a place now, do what you find to do. Do what your hand finds to do. And God will give you something else to do. Or God will develop that area of your ministry. God's got a ministry for each and every one of us as a believer. All right. Let's see. Let's go on over to verse 23. Same chapter. Verse 23. There between 17 through 22. It's talking also more about the believers that they should not walk in the flesh. That they should not walk according to the ways of those who are not even saved. There are many people who walk as carnally as they did before they were saved, before they accepted Jesus. But that's not the way we're supposed to walk. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. How do you do that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then as it continues on through 32, don't let the flesh rise up. Take authority over the flesh. Don't let that flesh rise up. Take the Word and use the Word on the flesh. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Be renewed in your mind. The key word is mind. You can't be renewed. Your flesh will be renewed only as the Word of God, which is in your spirit, knocks on your head and says, hey, straighten out. See, the Spirit receives the Word. The Spirit looks at this Word of God and says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, how do I do it? How do I do that? I want to do that. And the mind's going, well, don't have time to look it up though right now. Don't have time to do it. Takes discipline. Takes discipline to be renewed in your mind. That's the work part. The work part is getting into the Word and studying the Word on your own. Yes, the ministers are there to give you revelation, to give you the Word of God, but it's like it's been said, you don't feed your body just one snack a week and then you go on, but you feed your body three meals a day. So let's at least feed our spirit every day and not feed our spirit just once a week on Sunday morning or two times a week on Sunday and Wednesday. But let's feed our spirit continuously. And learning how to digest it is going in your prayer closet. And just pray. Pray to God. Worship Him. Let that Word sink deeply. Become established in your heart. That it can come back up. See, the Word of God, have you ever had the situation where you'd be trying to minister to someone? You wouldn't have the words right up in your head, but all of a sudden, bang, there it is. You needed something. You needed something from God. You needed something to be able to say to that individual because of their situation. And when your head was working on it, you couldn't do it. but you just kept praying, or you just kept ministering to them and just praying over them, and all of a sudden, there it was. God gave you something. God gave you a word. But of course, you knew that word somehow. Where'd that word come from? Did God drop it in you? Very seldom will God drop a word right in on top of you from heaven. The way that God ministers, for the greatest part, God can do anything, of course. God can act sovereignly, you know, it's a situation that... But it's up to Him. That's as the Spirit wills. But if you're ministering to an individual, that God will bring that word of God. God will bring that word right up from down in the depths of your heart. He'll bring that word. He'll bring something that your mind didn't remember. But He'll say, there it is, right there. You didn't even see it. All of a sudden, it's there. It's not something that you drew up. It's something that the Spirit, your human spirit, drew up. Because it knew that particular verse of Scripture or that particular part of the Word of God. Colossians 3. Turn over to Colossians 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God for His Word. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's go back to verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God. Renewed in knowledge of the Word of God after the image of Him that created him. The Word of God is the image of God. When you begin to study the Word of God, when you begin to study and to pray, and God begins to reveal His Word to you, you'll be more closely acquainted with God. You'll be more closely acquainted with your Father. With your spiritual father, your spiritual daddy. The earthly fathers, natural fathers, produce natural children, flesh children. But the Father God produces spirits. And so you're getting to know your Father, sitting in your prayer closet, standing in your prayer closet, however you go in your prayer closet, that you can study the Word and pray at the same time. Have your Bible in there with you. Study and pray. Look and pray. Take a little bit. Take a little nibble and pray. You know, take a little snack and pray. And just let God minister to you. Let God teach you. Get to know Him. Get to know Him. You've got the image of Him right here laying out in front of you. Get to know Him. Get to know your Heavenly Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's that? The Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge. Fear of the Lord, the first initial realization of who God is, being born again, is the beginning of wisdom. Because Christ has made unto us wisdom. And the knowledge of God can now be put into our hearts, into our spirits. When you're born again, the Spirit comes in. Hebrews says you have no need that anyone teach you. You have an unction of the Holy from the Holy Spirit. You have one that teaches you, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit. And He'll teach you of God. And He'll show you the things of God. And that comes back to the believer's ministry again, that when you get to know your Father, He can work with you. They went in the book of Acts, the disciples went out, the Lord working with them. That's what the Scripture says. It didn't say that they worked with the Lord. It said the Lord worked with them. So apparently they were working, number one. But also, He can work with you when He know when you and He are in the same boat, on the same road, in the same path, understanding the same principles of the Word of God, being able to travel along that road and continuously minister more effectively and more fully to the people that you couldn't have done that otherwise. You couldn't have done that otherwise at all. You could have just been sitting there and not doing anything. But as you get to know God through His Word, through prayer, you can start understanding what and how to move and how to maneuver and how God wants you to minister, which ways He wants you to turn. Romans 12. Everybody's familiar with Romans 12, or most everyone. Just to reinforce that the mind is the principal point that needs to be renewed. Problem is your mind and your eyes have been seeing all this junk that the devil's system, that the world system has been putting out for the past 6,000 years. And in that, man is convinced that things operate as his eyes see, as his hands feel, as his nose smells, as his mouth tastes, as his ears hear. We all operate by the five senses right here. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's good. There's a lot of, when you see the car coming down the road, don't step out. That's the time you can go ahead and operate in the flesh and you can be confident that you're doing the right thing. You can go ahead and stop before the car goes across and let him go by. But in other situations where the Word of God speaks specifically, you don't need to be stepping out on your feelings every time. Check the Word. Check your spirit. You may sound sick. God's Word doesn't have anything to say about not stepping out of cars. He figures everybody's got enough sense not to. Or not step out in front of a running camel or whatever it was back then. But when you're sick, God's Word has something to say about that. When you look sick, it says that you're healed. It doesn't say to go to the doctor. I don't have anything against doctors. Whoa. But God's best, of course, is to be healed according to the Word. Sure, if your faith is not that high, go to the doctor, please. Please, let him help you. If you're going to die in 10 minutes and you don't have the faith not to die in 10 minutes, but the doctor can give you medicine not to die in 10 minutes, go see the doctor. But if you've been in the Word, start out small, sure. You start out small. If you've got a cold, if you've got to start and get the sniffles, in the name of Jesus, I receive, I believe I don't have a cold. I believe I'll not receive this thing. Satan, you take your hands off me in the name of Jesus. Get rid of that thing. Throw it off. But where do you get your basis? Always get your basis for believing God for anything from the Word of God. That's another thing. You can't start believing God for something in an emergency if you don't have the knowledge of what God's will is. So you need to be in the will of God. You need to be in the Word of God, finding out what He wants for you, what He's given you. He's given you a lot of good things. You might as well get in there and get them. It's better than reading the newspaper. Newspaper give you a bunch of junk. You can read the weather. A lot of times that's a bunch of junk too. But anyway. But Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from what? From the world by the renewing of your mind." Transformed into what? Into the image of Christ. Into the image of what God wants you to be. Into the image of what His Word says you are. Follow that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get the Word of God. It has to pass through here first. Goes down in the Spirit. But the realization and the true revelation of the Word comes up from the Spirit. True revelation comes up from the Spirit. You may have read that verse 1,400 times, and all of a sudden, bang, there it came. I got it. God wants me to be healed. Right there. Okay, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The mind is the battleground. The mind is the place where Satan shows you all the little tidbits and all the little goodies that he has, and he wants to show you how and what and where and why that you shouldn't believe God, and why that everything's going to go bad for you, and why that you should go this way when he's got the little hole dug over there under the leaves. Oh, it looks good, boy. Look at that. Yeah, let's go on over there. And then you trip and fall and bruise your head, go crying to God. How come that didn't work? How come I got in trouble? It's because you didn't have enough word down on the inside of you to be able to follow the voice of your spirit. Your spirit knows things that your head don't know. And also your spirit can keep you from... Your spirit operates in the spiritual realm, see. It receives things from the Spirit of God. And if you're not able to listen to the voice of your spirit because it's not strong enough, because it's not that voice isn't loud enough, because it doesn't have enough strength, you hadn't fed it. You need to feed it so your spirit can be strong enough and loud enough so you can hear it and understand what God wants you, what the Word has for you to do in that particular situation. Because the devil will come against you with all kinds of junk and then you won't hear it. You won't hear a thing. You won't hear the alarm. You just walk on by and fall into it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk in the flesh. In other words, we're in a fleshly body. Not saying we're operating in the flesh all the time. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't wage war against the powers of darkness by the flesh or in our own body. You don't punch him out 1-2. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those are those places in your mind that Satan has a stronghold in, that you have not been able to overcome in a particular area. Casting down imaginations or reasonings or thinking. Casting down that thinking and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you've got something in your head that's exalting itself against what the Word of God says, you throw that thing out. Cast that thing down. Cast that reasoning down. Get rid of that thought that says, well, God don't want you to be healed. God don't want you to have nothing. God don't want you to minister to that person. You can't do it. Cast down that thing. The Word of God says, go minister the Word of God to him. Go out and minister the gospel. Spread the gospel. Says, you're healed. Says, you're blessed. The Word of God has many things to say. But when you're listening, when your head is exalting itself up against the knowledge of God, you need to cast that thing down. You need to get rid of that thing. Get that mind renewed. So you can say, in the name of Jesus, the Word of God says. So don't stand there and just let your mind walk. A lot of times it's your mind that's giving you trouble, not the devil. Because you've been around for some odd years and looking at all this junk, and finally you're getting into the Word of God like you should. The Spirit of God finally got through to you that you needed to start studying His Word and finding out what His will was for you, and that way you can start throwing up a wall against that thing, throwing up the power of God against it, throwing the Word of God against it. Because the Word of God will stand up against it. It won't. It's not going to fall. It's not going to fail. The Word of God's not going to fail. And bringing into, this is still verse 5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, to the obedience of Christ. That's apparent that He made a command. If you're being obedient, He gave a command. Where are the commands of Jesus? Where are the commands of Christ located? Where can we find them? Where can we find them? Anybody? Everybody? Where can we find the commands of Christ? In the Word of God, okay? And bringing into captivity every thought to the Word of God. taking every thought captive. The Word of God says this, grab that thought, cast it down, get rid of it. Get rid of that thought. Many times it's just a temptation. Many times it's a temptation that'll come to do something evil. Cast that down to the obedience of the Word of God. You'll have the temptation. You may have been convicted of a particular sin. Now that sin will come by, but of course you've been convicted. You've got the conviction is brought, of course, by knowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God revealing that to your mind. The Spirit of God revealing that from your spirit to your mind. That's how the Spirit of God overcomes sin in your life. It's a matter of that sin is overcome by the Word of God. Conviction is brought about by the revealed Word of God in a particular area in your life. And that's what brings victory over temptation. The Word of God brings victory over temptation. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 22. And be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. Lost my place. Looked up at y'all and lost my place. For he beholdeth himself, or he looks at himself, and then he goes away, and immediately he forgets what he looked like, forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, let's go ahead and keep it as the illustration, but whoever looks into the mirror and remembers what he looked like, and being not a forgetful looker, but he goes out and knows who what he looks like and knows who he is and acts like it, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself to your disadvantage if you're not a doer of the word. Because verse 25 said you'll be blessed in your deed if you're a doer of the word. Because you go and you look into the mirror, into the Word of God. The mirror is the Word of God. You look into the mirror. You look into the Word of God. And you see what God says you are. You see who God says you are. And then you go out. And you forget. If you go out and forget who you are, you'll go get sick. You'll go get beat down. You'll go get hurt. And you'll be ineffective. And you won't be successful in any area of life, at least not permanently. And you can live a miserable life that way. But if you go and you look at the Word of God and you look at yourself, you look at who you are in Christ Jesus, you look at who you are and you see that and you get that down in your spirit and you don't forget it, but your spirit man is always bringing it to your remembrance, then you can go out. And verse 25 said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Word of God can bless you. The Word of God will give you blessing after blessing and will take care of you in adverse situations and will be able to bring you out of temptation in triumphant victory every time, as you continually stay in the Word and understand and continually stay in prayer and let God speak to you. That's what prayer is. You speaking to God and ministering and worshiping Him. And in this type of prayer, there are different types of prayer, but in this type of prayer, you're ministering to the Lord. And then it says, be still and know that I am God. And that way you can understand and hear Him speak to you. You can hear Him reveal to you the Word that you've read. You'll never have known that was in there unless you start sitting down. A lot of people go into their prayer closet and they'll pray 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 for hours on end, and they won't shut up once. And then they get up and run out because they don't have enough time to do anything else because they got to get somewhere. But when you pray, minister to the Lord, minister to Him, worship Him and praise Him, but get quiet, especially after you've read the Word of God. Get quiet. Get quiet so God can minister to you, so He can tell you how much He loves you, and He can tell you the things that He wants you to know and the good things that are in His Word. Understand that you need to listen, that you need to listen to God. Listen to Him speak to you. Okay, first, go ahead and flip on over a little bit further to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Let's see. Okay, verse 6 too. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if you're keeping the perfect law of liberty, if you're keeping His Word, the love of God is perfected in you as you keep His Word, as you're a doer of the Word. You ever wanted to love people more? You ever find yourself being a little bit hasty in judging people, or even judging people at all? You ever find yourself looking at someone and saying, well, he's just, you know, and just, or being irritated in a particular situation. If you ever find yourself in that way, the love of God is not perfectly operating through you at all times. But if you keep the word flowing through you, and do it, be a doer of the word, the love of God is continually going to be perfected in you, also as you stay in prayer. That prayer is a key factor. It's a key factor in understanding and hearing the voice of God concerning His Word. He that saith he abideth in Him ought also, so let's see here, ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. You make Jesus your model. Walk as Jesus walked. How? Walk in His love. Word said He reviled not again. He was reviled and reviled not again. Jesus loved. Somebody said, well, He went in the temple and threw down all those tables. But why? Love. He loved those people. He didn't want them to be sitting there taken in by the tricks of thieves. It's not that He didn't love the thieves. He hated what they were doing, making a mockery of the house of God and of the laws of God, for that matter, selling, making profit off of what was to be sacrificed as an offering unto God. But Jesus loved. He walked in love continually. We can walk in love continually. We can walk in love as Jesus walked in love. Not perfectly every time, I realize. We're going to miss it every now and again. Then we got 1 John 1:9 when we miss it. Okay. Of course, Romans 10:17. You don't have to turn over there. Go ahead and turn over to Colossians chapter 1 again. Romans 10 says, of course, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So, when we listen to the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, You may have heard this before, but I'll emphasize it, that reading the Word aloud to yourself can assist you. Reading the Word aloud, hearing your own voice. Say the Word aloud, speak the Word of God, can assist you it'll bless you. If you don't read the Word aloud, try it. It'll bless you to hear your own voice speaking the Word of God. It'll really bless you. Also, something someone shared one time, that have you ever covered up your ears and talked? You can hear yourself nearly louder than if you had not covered your ears. I just thought it was kind of interesting that it's as if God put in a little system. No matter where your ears were, you could still hear it on the inside. It's something as if it, when you're speaking it, it goes down on the inside. It doesn't go out the front and come in the ears necessarily. It just kind of rolls around right all on the inside of you. Praise God. Okay, we're at Colossians 1:23. 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be moved and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Chapter 2, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It was given to Paul to preach and to minister the revelation of the Word of God, the true revelation straight from God, and to put it down on paper. It was given to him to minister that. And as we read it, we see that verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that the Word of God is ministered and preached so that we may be, each one of us, be presented perfect in spirit, and always continually more so moving to perfection in our mind and in our actions. Because in chapter 2, verse 3, because in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is made unto us wisdom, and in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a lot of treasure. There's a lot of wisdom and knowledge that God has that we have no idea, no inkling as to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But we can have. We can have as we study his word, and as he continually ministers to us and shows us his word and reveals to us further and further and further more new things in the word of God. It's exciting because there's no end to it. There's no end to what God can teach you through His Word. It looks like a long road to hoe. You know, you may get in there and say, boy, there's a lot of this Bible to begin with, and if there's more in the Word of God than just what's written down here, that's a lot. Yeah, that is a lot. Let me tell you one thing that is very helpful to me. The Old Testament, it's all the Bible. The Old Testament was given and is in this Bible still as examples of how God worked, of what God will do, and examples of the power of God, and examples of situations in life where God has commandeered the situation and taken control. But here we realize that we're given the ability to take control of our own lives through the Word of God, that He's given us the ability. And He says, you take authority over the devil. You take that thing. You command it to be so. You have the power of God working in you now. So this is example, kind of like, here's the example book back here about what can be done and what can happen. You know, people can be raised from the dead. People can be healed. People can be saved from great battles. Of course, there's a lot of metaphors that can be used, or illustrations back here that can be used of armies that would in our life be a situation of just an individual life in a bad situation. But in the New Testament, it tells you who you are. The New Testament, especially the epistles, are written to the church. Written to the church to tell you who you are in Christ, to tell you what you can do in Christ, how God has provided for your every need and your every desire in the Word of God. He's provided for it. So look in, do a lot of your reading in the epistles. In the epistles, that's of course from Romans through Jude. But of course, yeah, use it all. Use it all. Go into the Gospels. The Gospels. See how Jesus walked. Find that. And God will bless you. God will really minister, be able to minister to you. I wanted to go ahead and let's turn over to Psalms again. Let's go back over to Psalms 119.